You hear a lot these days about Rhode Island's startup business community. What exactly is a startup? How many are there really in Rhode Island? Phil Isle wrote a cover story for the Providence Phoenix, which is coming out now, that article, taking the temperature of Rhode Island's startup community, and he joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Phil.
Hi there.
Definition of a startup, first of all. What is a startup?
You know, I didn't really know going in. That was one of the first things I set out to explore, and I really found a variety of different answers. Some people told me that very literally a startup was before a company broke even, or before they had $60 million in investment, or before they had venture capital investment. Other people told me that startup was more of an attitude. You see a problem in the world and you set out to fix it with your product or service. Others tied it more to ambition, somebody who wants to take a product national or global. But really the common denominator amongst a lot of the definitions I found was the word growth. Startup businesses are designed to grow, and they are designed to grow fast. Scale is the verb that I kept hearing people use. Have you scaled yet? Is this thing exploding yet? Or are you growing?
Now, you write about some startups who are local who've seen some rapid growth. One is G-Form, one is Swipely. Tell us about those companies.
Yeah, G-Form was really exciting because I basically just walked out of the Providence Phoenix office in the jewelry district, turned left, walked about half a block, and there their offices were. And in fact, the jewelry district, which was rebranded by the city, the Knowledge District, a couple of years ago, or at least they tried to rebrand it that way, really is this kind of bustling hub of startup activity. In G-Form's case, it's really exciting to see a startup that actually makes physical stuff. Their product is padding. It's shin pads, elbow pads, compression shorts for bikers and skateboarders and other extreme sports. And they have this patented kind of padding technology that firms up upon contact. And apparently skateboarders and bikers just love it. And they also make padding for smartphones and iPads.
And Swipely. It sounds like a credit card.
It does involve credit cards.
Okay.
Swipely is a way for quote-unquote offline businesses like a liquor store or a restaurant or a hair salon to get the same kind of analytics about their customers that a online company might be used to getting through something like Google Analytics. And the company does this by taking information from credit and debit card transactions. They take your credit and debit card transactions and tell you, you know, how frequently your customers are coming back, how much they're spending. They'll even tell you how weather patterns affect the ways customers are spending. And a few local Swipely clients, I was told, are Monroe Dairy, Local 121, Trinity Brewhouse. And these are all places that are kind of enhancing their marketing by learning more about their customers via the credit and debit card transactions.
In the startup community, there's the potential for rivalry.
Right.
Are these collegial types of people?
You know, it was interesting. I was reading the cover story of the New York Times Magazine, I think it was this week, was about the quote-unquote savage dawn of Twitter with all this kind of backstabbing and people changing and elbowing each other out of the company, somewhat similar to what we saw on the big screen with the social network and the story of Facebook. But here in Providence, and maybe it's a virtue of the kind of small town vibe, but things really were collegial. Everybody seemed to enjoy partnering up with one another, meeting up with one another. There are all kinds of gatherings that the folks in the startup community have. There's Providence Geeks once a month. There's startup drinks. There's startup coffee. Beta Spring, which is a startup accelerator also in the jewelry district, has frequent open houses where they introduce the community to their new class of companies that are coming through for that half of the year. And I went to one of those recently, and it was the amazing thing about it is there was just this confidence in the air, this swagger in the air that doesn't seem to be that common elsewhere in the Rhode Island business community. It was really interesting and exhilarating to see.
Providence is the Rhode Island area. Why is it a fertile ground for startups? At least it seems to be.
I was interested to find that out myself. And one of the answers I frequently got was our location. We're smack dab between Boston and New York. I wouldn't have thought that was necessarily as important in the tech era when all you need is a internet connection and a computer. Why does it matter that you're near those cities? But maybe it's the flow of talent that's coming through those cities. Maybe it's the easy access. You can be in New York or Boston for a meeting. Another huge part of the kind of what makes Rhode Island fertile ground for startups. I think it's definitely the universities. Brown in particular, Charlie Kroll, who is the CEO and founder of a financial services tech startup called Andera, which is based in Providence. He drew up the business plan for his company as a senior, as part of the Brown Entrepreneurship Program's business plan competition. And now 13 some odd years later, he has this really successful company, and he's now the chair of the board of the Brown Entrepreneurship Program. And there was certainly a lot of other Brown grads who I ran into and folks who were talking about the connections with the local universities.
Is it easier to live in a smaller community where you have to spend a lot of time with the startup, and it's not a big metropolis like a Boston, like a New York?
Yeah, I met one guy actually who worked at G-Form who came from the Bay Area, and he was talking about how Providence, you know, it's just easier here. The rent for your apartment isn't as much. The rent for office space isn't as much. This was like perfectly timed, but he just took out his phone and said his friends back in the Bay Area were texting him about when he was going to come back there, and he said he had responded not anytime soon.
In terms of worker skills, are there two sets of worker skills that are needed, maybe a high set of skills to be in the startup at first? Is there the availability for low-skilled employment?
There's a couple ways of answering this question, and I was definitely interested in that. On one hand, you have somebody like Charlie Kroll, the guy from Brown, the CEO of the financial tech company Andera, who said that startups tend to follow a pattern that the founders are usually a small group of highly educated, highly technically skilled people. And then later on, once the company hits a kind of critical mass, they need the kind of employees that any significantly sized company would need, the HR people, the accounting people, the sales people. On the other hand, there is something about startups, and this is, I think, becoming more true every day, that, you know, if you want to design an app, you don't really need that much. And I think programming is getting easier and easier, and it's really accessible to just upload your application onto the Apple application store or the Android application store, and really anybody can do it as long as they have a computer and some kind of basic knowledge of how to work that stuff.
And as startups progress, there is more opportunity to hire more traditional workers. There is the opportunity to play a bigger role in the state's economy.
Yeah, I was definitely curious. I mean, it's really exciting to see companies that are hiring, say, employing 50 or 60 or 70 people. And that's kind of where the biggest startups that I encountered are right now. But Charlie Kroll, that CEO of Andera, told me that once these companies do hit their critical mass, and he said the Rhode Island scene is still pretty young. 5 years ago, there were only, say, a handful of startups. Now he said there are dozens. As the local ecosystem, as people call it, becomes more mature, I think you will see at least the potential for growing companies to hiring more traditional workers and maybe making a real dent in the employment statistics.
Phil Isle is news editor at the Providence Phoenix. His story on startups is in the current issue. Phil, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.